Good evening, Patriots. A little bit of change of music for tonight, just to kind of change the pace a bit. Seems appropriate with the world and the state it is. We really need to build as much as we can. We need to be building on our fellowship with one another. I was doing my Sunday thing with my dad, cranking ice cream. Turning ice cream, and just thinking a lot about the old ways and what we've lost. In this really rush for us to try to be in the future, to be faster, to be more efficient, we've just lost touch with just so much of what we are and what we have always been intended to be. That process of turning ice cream is the same as has been going on for over 150 years. It's the same machine, in fact, that was by design that was invented in the original ice cream turn, which was made and invented in the United States. It's a process of, the ice cream is just unbelievably simple. It's half and half, it's some eggs, some vanilla, and some sugar. And it's all heated up, let cool overnight. You put it into the churn, You put ice around the churn, layer it with salt, and you crank it for about 30 minutes. And there's a transformation that happens right before your very eyes and under the feel of the handle. And I'm one who likes to look into food science. I always find that fascinating to understand how things transform. Making bread, what makes the yeast and the all the other pieces interact to make bread. This is one of these that's fascinating to me because the basic ingredients are so simple. And in the process of turning that, and it transforms into something completely different. And not only does it transform, it maintains that state and doesn't return. To me, those are strong metaphors in a time like this when we're looking at where we're going. God always intended for us to love him, to stay with him, and to never doubt. And so it's a bit of a puzzlement when you think about that, how far we've drifted away from that and why we rejected our Creator. And how even in our daily basis, how we can even doubt that or have fear. God has always been there. He's always been with us. He's never left us. The only separation has occurred because of us. As we think in this period of time and all of the projections that were made of what would happen, and I think many of them were possible, but we factored out one thing and we never accounted for it in everything that we predicted and thought would come true. And that's the people themselves would willfully enslave themselves and desire not to be free. If there's one thing that is stunning to me of all this process in the last 5 years, in a process of awakening, of being proud Americans, of standing up, of rekindling that American pride, it's the willful compliance and willful acceptance of tyranny and slavery. It's not even a pushback on it, except for a handful. And we all know who we are. In the conversation I had earlier tonight, a comment was made that not everybody knows what's in the injection. And I agree with that. But this is the part that's most stunning. Everybody knows that it's a phase 3 trial. Everybody knows that it's an experimental injection. Everybody does. No one doesn't know that. If they say they don't know it, it's because they choose not to. And yet, they choose to take it to reclaim their freedom. Consider that just for a minute. God gave us rights. He gave us sovereign rights. He gave us rights to be free. He gave us rights of sovereignty. He gave us rights to choose. It was our free will. And in this very amazing moment, we're witnessing the execution, the choices of being made with free will. And it's walking back into slavery. There's no possible way that someone who seeks freedom, true sovereignty in their soul, could ever accept the ways of a tyrant or of enslavement. The mind doesn't allow that. The soul doesn't allow that. It sees it. It senses it. You see, you read it. You can see through it. So when I look at all of these people, many still wearing the face gag, many still walking around sheepishly looking at others as they hide behind this face diaper, compliant to every rule that every corporate place offers, all because they want to get what they need at any cost. When you get to that place and you're willing to do anything at any cost, you've lost your soul. There's a series of things my dad taught me in business when I was very young, and it's part of a forthcoming book. But one of those things is, in business, never want something so much you can't walk away. It's a simple rule. Never want something so much you can't walk away. Because when you want something that badly, you become blind. You cease to see things for what they are, and you cease to see the true nature of what's drawing you in. I remember a job that I had when I was in Portland. I was running my own construction company. I had two remodel projects going in parallel. The first one was a great client from LA who had flown up to buy a house, and I was remodeling for her. It was a really high-end home on the lake. And the second one was a house just down the street, and it was purchased by a guy from Las Vegas. He was a swindler, straight up in my own terms, a dirtbag. And my dad had come up to spend a couple days working with me to see how the business was going. And around the corner, there was a little pizza joint that we made great handmade pizzas, and we went over there and had lunch. And I was exhausted. I was running two jobs, and the second job was driving me crazy. Every single thing we did, there was some sort of nitpicky problem. And I remember him sitting across from the table and looking at me, and he's like, "You got to walk away on this one." And I said, "Well, I can't." And he said, "You need to walk away on this one. You don't see what it's doing to you, and you don't see that you're trapped." Well, I didn't. And $80,000 later, I learned my lesson. When we become stubborn and blind to the things that we want, we cease to hear and we cease to see. There isn't a day that goes by, whether on this program or in my own prayers, I pray for others and myself for eyes to see and ears to hear. But those eyes and ears to hear God guide us, require that we don't have our ego or our fears or our stubbornness in the way. The sense of humility is a critical component to being able to hear and listen to what God's words are. when we start to try to drive our own agendas and we start to decide that we are going to take control of the world, that we're going to decide what's best for us, it's a very lonely walk. And it gets lonelier the farther you go down that. And those cascades lead to the crazy things like depression, suicide, accumulation and constant purchasing of things to the extreme of even being a hoarder. It's people either not being able to deal with or trying to fulfill or fill the void that's within their soul. God is fulfilling on all levels. And when we walk with God in that place, He guides us and we trust. And we may be walking down a path and He may be taking us down a path too for us to learn. But as long as we listen to God, we will be okay. There is nothing that we are tempted with that He will not provide an answer for or an out or a way for out of it, an option out. It doesn't mean that we are going to be able to get out of it easily or without some struggle. But there is always a way out if we listen to God. It's like looking at a distance. If you've done much hiking and you look across at a canyon and you're looking up at a ridge you want to go to, and from where you sit, it looks like an impossible climb. And the closer you get, pretty soon things start to reveal themselves, and all of a sudden there'll be like a small trail cut that you couldn't see from a distance. And that trail takes you right exactly where you didn't see with your eyes. And it weaves around and maybe it does a couple switchbacks and it ends up right where you want to be in a way that you never visualized or could see. That's how God works. He guides us and takes us places and He walks us right up into a canyon where we think that there's no way out. And as long as we listen to Him, He just guides us beautifully right to where we need to be. And sometimes walking right to the edge is part of that walk. It's necessary because we have to see over that edge to see how far we would fall. And we need to decide at those moments as well. It's a test of our faith. We have to decide to be with Him or not. What so many are missing right now as they take this injection is they're missing the place of the precipice that God brought them to look over, to see where they were going, and at the same time, make the choice to return to Him. But people don't like to think for themselves and to rely, I should say it this way, don't like to rely on God and execute those things by themselves. Free will is part of us. Free will and free thought are important to all of this. And we do think and we do make decisions, but we make those decisions based on the input that God gives us and the guidance. But what people want most of all is being told. And it's a real sad place to be, to witness in a nation of how many people just want to be told. They want the answers. They want to know why wasn't this, for example, why isn't the vaccine stopped? Why are these people still alive? Why aren't there arrests? Why aren't there this? Why aren't there that? What is really going on? What's the truth behind all of this? The process that we're in right now continues to be a process of awakening, but taking accountability for our lives. And as we do that, it is necessary that we have to ask the questions, dig deeper, find the truths, and discover for ourselves what the real answer is. Because at the end, we have to use our free will to make a choice. When we listen to other people and trust plainly in what they say, even when it's duplicitous, just like with this injection, the state that you cannot trust is telling you to trust them, so you trust them because you're afraid, and they're telling you there's a way out of the fear if you trust them and take an experimental vaccine, they promise they'll give you your freedoms back. That's just so much unbelievable duplicity and nonsense. It's incredible. But they're letting those things decide their decisions for them. And the consequences are real. when I see people praying and saying, I wish, you know, help these people, God, I'm going to be honest. I don't think those are prayers that are appropriate. I think the prayers that are appropriate is, can we pray for them to have sight to see and ears to truly hear God, to humble themselves before God? Yeah, that's appropriate. But it isn't God's job to swoop in and save them. It's never been that way. God said from the very beginning, we had free will. In fact, as we go back to the beginning, it's there. It's in the book of Enoch, the fight that occurs between who we call Lucifer and God, or God's representative. Of the idea of who will control the way humans worship. God's children were to worship Satan, according to Satan. They were to be told how to worship. God said no. And I'm embellishing the story a bit, but it's the point that God basically said no. And in doing so, said that his creations needed to have the free will to choose who to worship. That was part of developing. So nowhere in there did it say, I will be your rescuer. And the stories consistently across Scripture show that. On a few occasions, God intervenes. But only after someone has gone to the point where God has seen how dedicated and how deeply faithful they are, he arrests the moment and pulls them back. But God doesn't swoop in a big white caravan of horses and save everybody at the last minute. And that sort of idea of a savior, of saving us, has been so deeply ingrained in the teachings of faith that it has turned people into complacent worshipers. Christ wasn't complacent. He was bold. Christ was the most, and I say this so many times, I mean, he was just to me the most incredible warrior because he didn't have to carry a sword. And it wasn't like he was zapping people with some sort of like electric bolts out of his hands or something. He literally just walked that path of truth and that strength of faith and truth that go together. We have to give our complete faith to God. And it's a faith and a love through Christ that allows us access to God. It's that step. And it's in there that we reclaim our perfection. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteousness of God. So we are here, and people are making a choice to walk away from God. And I don't know that, I just don't know that there's a coming back. I'm not being doomsayer. I'm not trying to paint a gloomy picture. But I know as well that in life, there's consequences. And the decisions we make, we are accountable for. So in this walk that we're making, and these decisions that are before us, each of us must make the decision of whether we are to be with God or not to be with God. And there isn't a maybe in that. And so many people right now are trying to ride that fence. I'll do a little bit of this, I'll do a little bit of mask, and maybe a little bit of one injection, but I'm still over here. And you can't do that. That's not where we are anymore. Each day, and you can almost witness it in a different way, and it's almost like it's scripted perfectly, by as God would intend. But we're not seeing the light side of it. We're seeing the dark side of it. And it's just, it gets to be more and more visible if you're looking. Every day, another little barrier is put in place, a little trap to pull people deeper and deeper and deeper into the commitment of the deep state, or to suffer, as they want to try to make you believe, the consequences of not going there. Every day, the deep state tries to rope more and more people into it to make them make their little following seem special, when special translates to slavery, and not just slavery, but deep, soulful level enslavement. I don't say those words lightly. With this stuff that people are injecting in themselves, there is so many unknowns, but every time one digs into it, there's another discovery. There's another question. There's another thing that it's modifying in your body. There's another potential risk. And this group that's going over there isn't asking those questions. They don't want to hear those questions. They just want to believe that they're going to be saved through an injection created by men who are as wicked comes. There is only one saving, and that is through Christ, because he is the savior of us all. And you think of the irony of this, that quite literally, Lucifer has created such a trap that people are literally seeking an injection to save them and to save their souls. When you say it that way and you think about it, the magnitude of what's happening right now is unprecedented in human history. On a global scale, injections are being rolled out that are experimental with the attempt to inoculate every single living human on the face of this earth over a man-made virus or biological agent that has a lethality of 1%. This has never been done, and it hasn't ever been done because it was never part of the agenda until now. This is the end game for a large part of humanity. That's a truth. And at this moment, in this week especially, as I've mentioned yesterday, we are in Passover, the celebration of Passover, and it's a very important reflection point. Because it's something we have to ask ourselves of: how far are you willing to go to stay with God? And if you answer anything less than all the way, I'm simply going to say these words: God bless you and good luck on your journey. Because you won't make it. What's coming could be glorious, but what's coming could be dark and ugly. And I always go with the principle, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And if you aren't prepared to stand with God with all your faith, no matter what happens, and I mean no matter what happens, even if that means some version of the Christ's final walk, if you aren't prepared for that now, you are not going to make this next level of leg of the journey. So I put that out there not to have people be afraid, not to have people be down, but to question and to check your faith with God. This is a very determinant moment. This is a moment when we have to decide, literally, where you stand. There's no more middle ground. You can't be a fence sitter. You have to decide. Narrow path, wide gate. Easy path, narrow gate. Which one do you want? The remnant is being separated, and the farther we go down this path, the fewer and fewer will be in the ranks. It's all going to be a matter of how we, each of us, decide to live our lives in relationship to God. Mine's made. God's put me through a lot. He's literally broken me and rebuilt me. And I'm speaking purely for myself. That what the times that I thought were the worst, I look back now and realize they were the greatest because they've prepared me for this very moment. And I think each one of us can find that in our lives. But it's time now to literally tighten up your belt, keep your sandals on, eat in haste, and be ready for what God's going to bring. If at any time your heart pulls you back the other way, it's going to trap you and you may not get back. You have to clear the slate. You can't look back anymore. And we have to move forward with a straight determination that no matter where we go, we end up standing with God without any hesitation, without any fear, and with nothing but love in our hearts. It's a tall order, but it's a gut check, and it's a moment in time that every single one of us has to ask ourselves, are you ready? Because there's no more wasting time. It's hard to see all those walk off the cliff, but it's their choice. And whatever motivates that choice, at the end of the day, many of these choices were pre-made. Their souls were not ready. And that's too bad. Our prayers will continue. But we have to keep our eyes forward on where we're going. And we can't look back. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we come together each day and each evening. Lord, we pray for the continued eyes to see and ears to hear. We also humble ourselves, knowing that only through humility can we hear you clearly. Lord, we have made our transgressions. We do that. We stumble. We make our sins. And we kneel before you and we kneel before our King, asking for forgiveness. But we equally stand strong and bold in your light. We stand strong and bold in the body of Christ, reclaiming our righteousness that you intended us to have, humbled by the sacrifice made by your only Son to give us life and to reclaim the perfection in spite of our sin. Lord, we pray for the many that are misguided and wandering. We pray for an awakening in them that they can see what they're doing. And even if they've taken the injection, we pray for their awakening to return to you, no matter their state. We also know that in this time, decisions we make, we are truly accountable for. And so we pray for the guidance, Lord, to continue to walk this path, to walk closer to you, to trust more deeply in you, to continue to live more deeply by your laws, to love our neighbors as we would want to be loved, to help those in need, and to give voice to the voices that have no voice, to protect the innocent. And let us truly embrace all that you give, an umbrella of love and protection that assures no fear, and that all things will be provided for what we need in our station in life. We're humbled, we thank you, and we're blessed to be in this time. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. A powerful time and a deeply reflective time. And we need to find those times to reflect and to look back and to look forward. My Sundays, turning ice cream with my dad, eating a crisp that mom makes every Sunday, is a period of time where we come together. We celebrate what we have between us. We do so through a simple act of sharing the creation and making of things, celebrating God's love in our life, and celebrating the simple things we have. Life is not about things. It's about who we have, the bonds that we're given. It's about the love that our families have, the love that we give, and the love that we receive. It's reflecting on the little things. It's reflecting on the slower part of life, not to choose something faster, but to do something better. To take a process like ice cream and improve it every week with some little thing. And we talk about it every week. How can we make this a little better? And yet it's so simple. Mastering simplicity is part of the gift of God. Let us find our paths forward, not with the complication and the noise of the old, but with the peace and clarity that binds us to God, anchors us in the soul of this earth, and frees us from the yokes of dependency that the world we're currently living in ensnares people with all the time. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press in. Keep your prayers up. Pray for clarity. Listen. Humble yourself before God. He's there. He will never forsake you. He is always with you, and he's always speaking clearly, if we can only hear. And as we do that, we join him in the victory that he will always have in the end. Have a blessed night. I'll see you tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m., 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, or until the next time, good night, God bless, and out for now.
All this time we had to prove that we could stand here too. All the nights been pushing through, fight for all we had to lose. Reaching out for something to pull us up to level ground. Oh, I can see it now, I can see it now. Sun sets down over the hill where the light God found. Reaching through somehow. Oh, you're an island when the world is too loud. When the seasons change, I know the space between us will stay the same. Resting on this faith, when your soul answers calls far away. Safe place to hide from the rain.